And counting the number of Sundays since we've been together, I think 8 Sundays since we were last together, back to March 15th. That was our last Sunday together. And I'm thinking, if I miss my personal family for 8 weeks, that's a long time. And I have missed you, my family of believers. We are part of the same family through the blood of Jesus, and I have missed you, and it's so good today to be back together and to worship together. It's wonderful to have our praise team together. Tim, thanks for the choice of all those songs today. Really good. And just a special blessing to have Cindy here today, knowing what she and her family have been through. And God is good. Amen. And I possibly even Chase is going to be here the second service today. And we have prayed for the Wyatt family, and God has been so gracious. I was thinking just this morning of how we have seen God's answer to prayer over the few years that I've been here. I'm thinking back to Tracy and Amelia and how God worked a miracle in the Simmons family. And I believe that he's worked a miracle with the Wyatt family here just in these weeks past. And we give praise to him. He is a good God. I've been reading through the book of Psalms in this pandemic time, and I've mentioned this to you in my writing and in my preaching as well, that to me, the book of Psalms just speaks so loudly during times of crisis. It's like God's message is so clear and so personal through the Psalms during these kinds of times. And so as I've been reading through Psalms, I don't know how many times I've read this in the writing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. He is a good God. He's a merciful God. And he does not give to us what we deserve. Rather, he gives to us his blessings. He has showered us with his mercy and his goodness, and we give praise to him. Would you give praise to God with that in mind? Just, I preached this sermon this morning online just in my office because we felt like it would just be a better reception there and with the sound and the video for those that would be watching online. And I said to those folks listening online, maybe you'll just want to shout hallelujah right there in your living room or stand up and clap, but his goodness is just overwhelming to us, and we praise him for that. It does seem appropriate to me that we come back together on Mother's Day. I'm so thankful for my mom. I was thinking of her even as I was driving over this morning and the blessing that she has been in my life. She's been gone and with Jesus for the last year and a half, and I miss her dearly, and my mind is with her today. But to think of what a blessing our moms are to us. She is with Jesus now, where she has wanted to be and where we all want to be. And thank God that we have that hope of being there together. We need to be faithful to him until death, the book of Revelation says, and Jesus then will give to us the crown of life. And I'm thinking, if there are any moms here today, if there would be anyone here today who is outside of Christ, today would be such a good day to direct your heart towards him, to give your life to him. Again, through the book of Psalms, there's so much writing there about how short life here on the earth is. It's like the green grass, the psalmist says. It's green today, and tomorrow, just in a short while, it will be burned up. It will be brown. Life here is like a vapor, the psalmist says. You see it, and then it's gone. Life here is like a shadow, just for a little while, and then it's gone. I was walking with my family this last week, and an evening walk, and I noticed the shadow from the sun. And it made me think of what I was going to be saying in my sermon today at this point, and how if we had stayed out just a few more hours, that shadow would have been gone. That's the way life is. It's so short here on the earth. Psalms 39, verse 5 says, it's like a handbreadth. Our life here on the earth is like a handbreadth, from the tip of the thumb to the tip of the finger, just the width of the hand. That's how short life is here on this earth. And so, because of that, we need to make good use of our time. We need not waste our time here. We need to make sure that Jesus is in his proper place. Because when life is done here, and we are standing before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be only one thing that matters, and that is, did we have Jesus in our life? Did we have faith in him? It's the only thing that will matter. I started working on this sermon two Fridays ago, and I'm an early morning person, and so I was up early that Friday morning to start on this sermon, and I happened to look at my phone prior to working on the computer, and I noticed a blurb on my phone that a lady in Fort Scott that I knew had died. And I had known this lady for 30 plus years, and in no way am I making any kind of judgment against her, because really the last 3 years I have not seen her. And so I don't know what has happened in her life over these last 3 years with Jesus. But I do know that there were a number of times in those first 25, 28 years that I knew her, I would cross paths with her often. And I would speak to her about Jesus, and I would invite her to church. She never had time. Never had time for any of that. She was focused on other things. She was preoccupied with other things in her life. As I said, I hope that these last 3 years, maybe she turned that around in her life. But there is only one thing that matters when we stand before him, and that is Jesus. And what's written in our obituary will not be impressive to God, that we belong to this organization or that organization, that we did this humanitarian thing, or that we loved our family. Those things are all well and good, but the one thing that matters is Jesus. What did we do with Jesus? Now, if we have him as Savior and Lord, then it's going to help us leave behind a particular legacy. And moms, on this Mother's Day, I want to encourage you to leave behind a legacy that is all about Jesus. If you've been listening to the sermons online over the weeks past, you know that I have been in a series which I have entitled Desperate to Tell. You know, the theme for the year here at Reinhardt is Desperate for God. And then after we had finished about an eight-week series on being desperate for God, then we're entering into some mini-series each along the way through 2020, and this particular mini-series is Desperate to Tell. We have a message that we should be desperate to tell others about, and that is the message of Jesus. He is the only one who can save us from our sins. It's in Jesus that we have hope. It's in Jesus that we have peace. It's in Jesus that we have meaning to life. It's in Jesus that we have eternal life. John said it this way in 1 John 5:12. If we have the Son, we have the life. If we do not have the Son of God, we do not have the life. It is a message that we need to be desperate to tell others about. I'm so happy and thankful for the ones who told me the message of Jesus. And for a moment, maybe you can think back in your mind of who it was that told you about Jesus. If you're a Christian, you too will be saying with me, I am so thankful for those who told me about Jesus. Maybe it was your mom or your dad. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe grandma. A preacher. A neighbor who picked you up and brought you to church. Thank God for those people who have shared the message of Jesus with us. We need to be that person for somebody else, that we would share that message of Jesus with them. And I was thinking, being Mother's Day, I would probably abandon this series for one Sunday and talk to the moms. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, really don't have to abandon this series, because who better to challenge than our moms to be desperate to tell their kids and their families about Jesus? Let me tell you where it starts, moms. It starts in the prayer closet. Spend time in the prayer closet, lifting up your kids and your family to Jesus. I've told you this truth many, many times over these last few years. We are in a spiritual battle, and our enemy is the devil, and he is after our kids. He knows that Christianity is just one generation away from extinction. And so he is targeting our kids. And he has all kinds of arsenal to use against them. He uses the TV. He uses the music industry. He uses social media. He uses their peers. He uses pornography. He uses alcohol and drugs. He uses sex. And I'm sure that you can add to that list. He is crafty. He is determined. He is tireless in his work against our kids. And he is very intentional in his target. And the best way to begin fighting back against this enemy is in the prayer closet, wrestling with God in behalf of our kids. And it really doesn't matter how old our kids are. Some of you moms here today have little ones that are still in the home. Number of you have kids that are already grown up and they're out of the home, but you still have kids and you still have grandkids. And my challenge to you, whether it's with your kids or with your grandkids, that you are entering into that prayer closet and you are wrestling with God in behalf of those young ones that you love. And really, that prayer, that wrestling with God, should begin at conception. We don't even know whether it's going to be a boy or a girl at the time, but we start praying for him, because we know that the battle is serious. And then that little one is born, and they began to grow, and they began to get older, and we continue that battle of prayer in that prayer closet in behalf of our kids. I was speaking with my son-in-law, Luke, who is a preacher, and he was doing some research for a sermon of his own, and he was telling me of his research. He said that he had found out that by the time a young person is 13 years old, they have already formed their worldview that is likely to be their worldview until the day they die. Now, obviously, that worldview can change a little bit, but most kids, by the time they're 13, they have formed their worldview, meaning this is what they believe at 13 about God is going to be pretty much what they believe about him for the rest of their life, and Jesus and creation and how we got here. All of that worldview at 13 years old. And that's why it is so important that we pray unceasingly for our kids and our grandkids, and that we fervently pray for them, and that we earnestly pray for them, and that we fast and pray for them, and that we pray without ceasing for them. Get on our face and cry out to him in behalf of our kids' souls. This is where the battle starts, is in the prayer closet. Our kids are worth fighting for. We fight for our kids in a lot of ways, don't we? And I'm thinking moms are known to be fierce fighters for their kids, aren't they? I mean, if a mom senses that her kid isn't getting a fair shake at school, or if she thinks her kid is getting bullied on the school bus, or if she thinks her kid is getting bullied at the playground, probably the school officials are going to hear from her about that. Moms are known to be fierce fighters for their kids, sometimes like a mama bear who comes to the defense of her cubs who are in danger. Well, let me remind you, moms, your kids are being bullied. I don't care what age they are being bullied by the biggest bully of all, and his name is Lucifer. And he is a liar. He is an accuser. He is a deceiver. He is a destroyer. And he is doing battle for your kids. And so be that mama bear, and you go into that prayer closet, and you do battle for your kids against him, and you call upon the victor, Jesus, to have victory over this enemy, and pray for a hedge of protection around your kids. I don't care what age they are, they're never too old for you to be praying a hedge of protection around them, and you pray that they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free, and that you pray that they will love Jesus with all of their heart. And pray for God's angels to surround them and deliver them from the evil one. Go to battle for your kids in the prayer closet. And yeah, some are saying, well, hey, my kids are grown up and they're gone. Well, as long as you have breath, as long as they have breath, you keep praying for them. They need your prayers. That was one of the things I so much appreciated about my mom. As long as she was living, I knew that I had her prayer support behind me. And not only was she praying for me, she was praying for my family. May that be true for you. Be that wrestler that you're not going to let go of God until he gives you that blessing upon your kids and upon your grandkids. And by all means, moms, don't be too busy to pray. Life is busy. But may we learn to pray even amidst our busyness. I think that's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is all about. Pray without ceasing. Pray as you are on the go. Pray as you drive. Pray as you're sitting at the stoplight. Pray as you are in the store and waiting in line to be checked out. Pray as you are in the kitchen doing your work there. Whatever it is that you are doing, pray for your kids and pray nonstop and learn to stop and pray too. You hear that? Not just as you go, as you are on the run, but learn to stop and pray. Be still, the psalmist says. Be disciplined. Be quiet. Be intentional. Be persistent. Be like that widow in Luke chapter 18. You remember her story? Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the righteous judge said. Now, how will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly." Be like that widow woman, praying for your kids, praying with diligence, praying with persistence. Your prayers can make a difference in the lives of your children. Think about Elijah. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. And he prayed again, and the sky opened up and poured rain. His prayers made a difference. Your prayers can make a difference in the lives of your children. Take time to pray for them. That's where it all starts. That's where this battle starts. Let me give to you a second point here. Model for them the Christian life. Try your best to show them Jesus. And I'll mention to you my third point that I'm going to get to here in just a moment is that we teach them. But doesn't it make sense if we're going to teach them about Jesus, it first needs to be modeled for them. And that just makes sense. It's so much better if they can see a sermon than if they can just hear one. And so moms, try your best to model for your kids the Christian life. Model for them what it means to love. Model for them what it means to forgive. Model for them what it means to be gracious. Model for them what it means to trust God amidst hardship. And all that I'm saying today, dads, you need to be giving an ear to as well, because though it's being addressed to moms particularly this morning, you need to know too that the kids are going to benefit if they see both of you together modeling Jesus. And I think they'll understand that we're not going to be perfect. We're going to fall short so many times as we're attempting to model Jesus, as we're attempting to teach them about Jesus. We're going to fall way short so many times. But thank God for His grace. I think our kids will be gracious with us too. Let me remind you of some verses that just give emphasis to this Christian life that we are to live, that we are to be all about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Colossians 3:17 has a very similar message to it. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Ephesians 4:1 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord by which you have been called." And then verse 2, Paul describes for us that walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. There are so many verses in the New Testament that give emphasis to this idea of the Christian life being a walk. And as I think about that, it's just one foot being put in front of another, and with each foot, you're making progress towards the goal of being like Jesus. The Christian life is a walk. It's a walk that we need to be persistent in and diligent in, and we keep our eyes on the goal. Let me read to you some of these verses that emphasize the walk of the Christian life. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Colossians 1:10 says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." Colossians 2:6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." 1 Thessalonians 2:12, "Walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." It sounds like a reoccurring theme, doesn't it? That we are to be walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We are to walk after Him. And John the Apostle said, this is how we can have assurance of salvation. 1 John 2, 5 and 6, "By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." It's quite a challenge for us to walk as He walked. And here's that third challenge, that we teach them about Jesus. Moms, teach your children about Jesus. I've mentioned to you about reading through the Psalms. I've been trying to highlight verses along the way that have stood out to me. And there's one from Psalms 102, verse 18, that I had never really clued in on. I'd read it no telling how many times in my life, but this time I clued in on it like never before. Psalms 102, verse 18. "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Think about that. I mean, we are to be concerned about the generations to come, those even who have not yet been created. We are talking about those generations that will come after us. And this is why it is important that we teach our children with the hope that they will turn around and teach their children, and then the chain will be unbroken, that for generation after generation to come, there will be descendants of ours who are in the faith. Now, sometimes through the years, I know I preach a sermon like this and somebody will go away saying, "Man, I've just totally dropped the ball. My kids are not in the faith. I've totally dropped the ball." And that's not necessarily true. All we can do is do our best. All we can do is give the truth to them, be faithful in delivering the truth to them, and it is their responsibility then to receive the truth and pass it on. And you can't make them receive the truth. But you can sure make sure that you are one who's delivering the truth. And if your kids are already grown up, then you be sure that you are delivering the truth to your grandchildren. Teach them about Jesus. We teach our kids how to play ball, don't we? And what a joy that is to play catch with our kids, to throw the ball and watch them learn to hit that ball. We teach our kids to swim, and they need to know that for life, to enjoy swimming and to be safe in the water. We teach our kids how to do math. They need that. We teach our kids how to manage their money. They need that lesson to be learned. Let's make sure that we are teaching them about the one who can save their soul. Moms, there's no higher calling than that for you. It's to influence your kids for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our moms here today. May they be encouraged. May they be challenged to pray, to model, and to teach. Bless our moms. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the
desperately need him, don't we? Thank you for being here. On our way out, don't forget the offering baskets and your communion cups. Take those and toss those out. And Mother's Day flowers. Yes, the Mother's Day flowers that are in the other room, so pick those up. We have a camp out coming up at the end of the month, and there's a few things coming up in June and July that are on the bulletin there, if you mark those on your calendars. Let's pray together. God, you are so good to us, and we thank you for bringing us to this morning when we can be together, and more of our family will be here later today to worship. We just pray that you would continue to be with us as the Reinhardt family, but be with your church worldwide as so many are struggling, and we just pray that this would be a point in time in our nation, in our world, where you are honored and glorified, where people turn to you more than ever before. as we go through trials, sometimes that just really reveals our need for you. And I pray that that's the case, that revival would begin to take place, and that we as your people would help to speak out and boldly represent you to this world. God, I just want to lift up these names on our prayer list, that you would continue to be with each of these that are dealing with cancer and other prayer concerns, continue to be with the health problems that exist. And Lord, we just pray for healing and your guidance on each of these people. Continue to be with us this morning as we leave, and just we just thank you for our moms. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Let's do that again.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't